Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Erev and Daf Lamed Aleph. We left off on Daf Lamed and Beis. We're at the two dots at the end of the page on Daf Lamed and Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Beryl Eckstein, Lezecha Nishmas, his father, Harav Shimon Aryeh Ben Yecheskel Chaim Eckstein, Alev Shalom, Nesham Shavon Aliyah. And it's also sponsored anonymously in honor of Ephraim Tepler and Jacob Sachs for encouraging the sponsor to do the daf, and he should continue to do it, and we thank all of the sponsors very much for these sponsorships. So again, we're holding out the two dots toward the end of the page on Daf Lamed and Beis, and the first thing we're going to discuss is a Kohen making an Eruv Tchumen in a cemetery. We've already discussed in the Beis HaPras. Now we're going to talk about what if the Eruv is placed in a cemetery, not in a Beis HaPras, and we're going to somehow get from that into the Sugya of Mitzvos Lav Lehanos Nitnu. So that's going to be a fascinating topic. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about making an Eruv with different types of Trumos and Maestros at different stages, before your Poda, after your Poda, Demai, these kinds of things, making an Eruv using foods that are at least of questionable halachic permissibility based on their status of Trumos and Maestros. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about making a Shaliach to make your Eruv for you, because typically speaking, in order to make an Eruv, a person has two options. You can either go to the place where you want to be Kona Shvisa, and that's it. Just be there. And by being there, you are Kona Shvisa. The other option is that you put food in the place where you want to be Kona Shvisa. By putting food in the place where you want to be Kona Shvisa, you don't have to be there yourself. You could send a Shaliach to do so for you. So we're going to discuss who is eligible and is not eligible to become a Shliach. And when someone is not eligible to be a Shliach, what can you do to make him eligible to be a Shliach? So again, let's begin. Daf Lamed and Beis, about five lines from the end of the page. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Beis HaKvaros. So Rabbi Yehuda says you could even make an Eruv for a Kohen in a Beis HaKvaros. So says Gemara Tanim, Neshiyach Lachutz V'Leilech B'Shidu Tevo Migdol. Because there is a way for a Kohen to enter the Beis HaKvaros. All he has to do is go in inside of a box. If the box is large enough, then it's Chutzitz B'Fnei Atuma, and he's not going to become Tameh from going into the Beis HaKvaros. We're talking how large does the box have to be. So it has to be large enough to hold 40 sa'ah of something that's a davar lach, which is two kor of a davar yavesh, and then it's not going to be mekabel tuma, and it will be a proper chatzitza. How do we know that? That din is derived. The Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Chavav and Beis, derives it from a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, "V'kol asher yipal alav mehem bimosam yitma mikol kli eitz o beged o ar osak." It talks about if a sheretz that's dead touches something, it becomes tameh, and then it defines the types of kalim that can become tameh. And the fact that it mentions kli eitz and sak in the same breath tells us that just like sak is metaltel moli v'rekam, just like a bag by definition is something that you're able to move both when it's full and when it's empty, otherwise it's useless, so too with the kli eitz that's able to be mekabel tumah is if it's metaltel moli v'rekam. But if you have a kli eitz that's only metaltel rekam, that you can only move it when it's empty, but if it's full, it becomes too onerous, too heavy to move it, or it might threaten the structure of the kli, it might break the kli if you try to move it, then it's not going to be mekabel tumah. And that's great, because if you have a kli that's not mekabel tumah, then it can be chotzeitz b'fnei tumah. It can be a proper kli for the kohen to be able to enter the cemetery in that way. So says the Gemara, kasavar, we must be assuming that ohel zaruk shmei ohel, that a moving ohel still constitutes an ohel, and therefore even though the box that the kohen is in is moving, it still serves as a chatzitza. But plukta dani tanoi, and that's really the subject of machlokas tanoim. Detanya, because we have a brisa in a different context. The brisa discusses tumas eretz ha'amim, where the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yudal tells us that there are gozer on chutz laaretz, that all of chutz laaretz is tame. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos in Maseches Olos explains that they made this gezera because the nachrim were mezalzel in the kavura of their dead, and they would bury them anywhere and everywhere, so they didn't have designated cemeteries. So the chacham were gozer that all of Eretz Ha'amim has tuma. So we mentioned that nichnas Eretz Ha'amim b'shid tevo migdal Rebbe mitameh, Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yudah mitareh, that it's a machlokas tanoim whether one becomes tameh if they enter Eretz Ha'amim inside of a box. So b'maikov miflgi, what is the machlokas? Maris over ol zoruk lav shmei ol. Rebbe holds that an ol zoruk is not a valid ol. It's not going to provide a chatzitza, and the person is therefore therefore going to become Tameh. Umar Savar Ol Zarek Shmei Ol. But Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds that even a moving Ohel can be Chotzitz Bifnei Atumah, and is a valid Ohel. So you are able to enter in a box. And that's the Machlokes, Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. In our Mishnah, the Rabbi Yehuda holds an Ohel Zarek is considered an Ohel, and therefore Chotzitz Bifnei Atumah. And that's why you can make an Eruv for a Kohen in a Beis HaKvaros, because he has the ability to access the Eruv through the box. And the Tanakama says that Ohel Zarek is not called an Ohel, and therefore you can't make such an Eruv, because he has no ability to access any such Eruv. So Rashi points out that both Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama must be assuming, like Sumchus, that the Eruv has to be Ra'oi for the Ma'arev himself, that it's not good enough that the Eruv is Ra'oi for somebody else, because then, of course, you'd be allowed to make the Eruv in the Beis HaKvaros for the Kohen. He doesn't need to be able to eat the Eruv. Somebody needs to be able to eat the Eruv. As long as it's Ra'oi for somebody else, that would be good enough. So Rashi points out that L'chora is the assumption over here, that we're assuming, like that Shita in Tanoim, that the person who's making the Eruv has to be able to eat the Eruv. However, Tosos on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph and the Rush in Simon Beis point out that this Machlokas may be Bein L'Tanakama, Bein L'Rabbi that this Machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda is Bein L'Sumchus, Bein L'Chachamim, that it works according to everybody, meaning even if you hold that the fellow himself doesn't need to be able to eat his Eruv, but to be Kona Shvisa in a Makom, maybe the food itself doesn't have to be Mutter for him to eat. Maybe you could be Ma'arev B'Yayin L'Nazir, even though the Nazir is not allowed to drink the wine. But you have to remember, the Eruv is about being Kona Shvisa. We're making that spot his home. If he has no access to that spot, he can't be in that place. Forget about eating food, he can't be in that place. Well, if he can't be in that place, he cannot be Kona Shvisa. So this Machlokas about Ohel Zarek is going to apply. This Machlokas about making an Eruv for a Kohen in the Beis HaKvaros is going to apply, whether you hold like Sumchus, whether you hold like the Chachamim, regardless of whether you hold that the fellow himself has to be able to eat the food that's designated for his Eruv. So now the Gemara brings Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, if you could make an Eruv for a Kohen using Truma and placing it on a Kever. So we're no longer talking about a Beis HaKvaros, a cemetery where he doesn't have access to the whole area unless he uses an Ohel Zarek. Now we're talking about where you actually take Truma, which is not allowed to become Tameh, and you put it on a Kever. Now, the halacha is not only can Truma not become Tameh, if Truma is Tameh, you're not allowed to eat it. But there's another Isser, that a Kohen that's Tameh is not allowed to eat Truma that's Tohar either. So you have a double problem when you're using Truma and putting it on a Kever. Number one, there's a risk to the Truma, that the Truma will become Tameh, then it's going to be invalid. And number two, there's a risk to the Kohen who tries to access that Truma, because if the Kohen tries to get the food from the Kever, even if somehow you could protect the food from becoming Tameh, if the Kohen becomes Tameh, he's not allowed to eat Truma Tahora. He's not allowed to eat the Truma anyway. So, Vahad Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that which the Brisa tells us, that Rabbi Yehuda says, Ma'arvin the Kohen Tahora, but Truma Tahora, but Kever, that you're allowed to make an Eruv using Truma Tahora for a Kohen who's Tahor, on a Kever. Well, Hechi Azel, how in the world is he going to go? B'shid Teva Migdal, V'kivin Da'achta Itamila. But wait a second, the second the Truma is placed on the Kever, it already, the Truma becomes Tameh, and that makes it not Roi at all anymore. You have to burn Truma that's Tameh. So it says, Mar B'shalo Huchshara. No, the case is, you're talking about Peros of Truma that were never Huchshar L'Kabal Tuma. They never came into contact with one of the seven liquids, Yad Shach Adam, and because of that, they never became eligible to become Tameh. Oh, Sheni Lo Shem Bimei Peros. Or maybe we're talking about that it's bread that's Truma, and when you needed the bread, you didn't need it with water, so it was never Hukshal Kabal Tuma, you only needed it with Mei Peros. You made like a Mizonos bread kind of a thing, where you were Nilosh Bimei Peros, and therefore it's never Hukshar Kabal Tuma. So it says, okay, but when the Kohen comes to take the Truma, Behechi Maisila, how's he sweat? You've solved the problem of the Truma becoming Tameh, okay? We've taken care of that, but what about the problem of the Kohen himself becoming Tameh, trying to access this Truma? How in the world is he supposed to access the Truma without himself becoming Tameh? Second, he sticks his hand over the Kever, he's going to become Tameh. So it says, Gemara, b'pshute kliyetz lo mekabel Tuma. No, he'll access it using pshute kliyetz. A kliyetz is only mekabel Tuma if it has a base kibul. So the Kohen is not going to access it by sticking his hand on the Kever. He'll use a kli to grab it and bring it to him, and the kli will be pshute kliyetz, a flat wooden board, and that's going to be perfectly fine he's not going to have to be ma'ihil on the kever, because if why do we dafka have to say pshute kliyetz? Why not just say he takes any kli and he accesses the food using any kli? So if you use a kli that's mekabel tuma, the kli itself is going to become tame from the kever. So the kli is going to become an avatuma, meaning the kever itself is an aviavosatuma. The kli is going to become an avatuma, and then the kohen who's holding that kli is going to become tame as well. Now, there's no isser for the kohen to become tamei in that way. The isser is only for a kohen to become tamei to a mace. A kohen is allowed to become tamei to a kli, which had become tamei to a mace. But the kohen would not be then allowed to eat the truma, because a kohen who's tamei on any level is not allowed to eat the truma. So that's going to be the problem. So frankly, Gemara v'ha'kam ma'ihil, even though the kli itself is not tamei from the kever, but nevertheless it's ma'ihil on the kohen who's holding the kli and on the mace at the same time, so shouldn't it become tame from that perspective? So it says more demaisila achode, that you bring the truma to you using a kli that doesn't have the requisite width to serve as an ohel over the tuma. Now, to understand this, a little bit of background maybe is necessary. We mentioned, I think, yesterday that tumas ohel means three different things. There's a tumas ohel where one is ma'ahil over the tuma, where you yourself hover over the tuma. There's tumas ohel where the tuma is ma'ahil over you, and then there's tumas ohel called olam shacha, where both you and the tuma are underneath the same ohel. That third type of tuma requires that the ohel be at least a tefach. It has to be a height of a tefach and the width of a tefach to then cover both the person and the tuma. That's called an olam shacha. As far as that type of tuma, as far as the other types of tuma being ma'ahil on, or the tuma being you being ma'ahil on the tuma, or the tuma being ma'ahil on you, even a kol shu, even if your tiny little pinky goes over the mace, so that's already enough to transmit the tuma. But it's when this olam shacha that you need a kli that's a tefach, you need a roof that's a tefach in order to transmit the tuma. However, the chacham mor goes there that if you have a kli that's yesh behekefel tefach, that has a circumference of a tefach, that too can serve as an ohel midrabanan to transmit the tuma. So that's what the Gemara is asking. V'akamayhil, even if the kli is not mekabel tuma itself, and the kli itself is not a tefach even, but still, if you're holding the kli and the kli is going over the kever, it should serve as an olam shacha to transmit the tuma to you. So we're saying, no, demaisla achude, you're using a kli that has an edge where the circumference of the kli is less than a tefach, and because the circumference is less than a tefach, it's not going to be mayhil. Ihachi my time the rabbanon. So wow, we've solved all the problems. So why did the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and hold that you're not allowed to make an Eruv for a Kohen who's Tahor with Truma Tahora? After all, we've figured it out. The Truma's not going to become Tameh because it's not Hukshar L'Kabal Tuma. The Kohen's not going to become Tameh because he has no a way to access it. So Kasavri also liknos bayis b'isurei hana'a. The Chum hold that you're not allowed to be Kona bayis in Isurei hana'a, and all Tashmishi Ameis, including the Kever itself, are Asur b'hana'a. So when you put your Eruv on the kever, you're being kona shvisa on the kever to be able to go there to 2,000 amos from that location. That's considered that you're being nene from the kever, which is nisra anah. So totally different than what we would have expected. We thought this whole inyan of making a kever with of making an Eruv rather with truma tahora on a kever for kohen tahor, that this was all about a din of tuma and tahara, that's what we're discussing over here. No, this is a din. The issue over here is a din of getting hana'a from a kever, that you're not allowed to get hana'a from a kever. Rashi points out, it's got nothing to do with a kohen then. Really, a Yisrael would have the same problem according to that shita. If the issue is getting hana'a from a kever, no one is allowed to get hana'a from a kever. So why does the Mishnah Dafka talk about a kohen? Lo diacha kocho shel Rabbi Yehuda. That Rabbi Yehuda's matir even when you add in more complicating factors like a kohen, that the truma might become tameh, the kohen might become tameh, that we're even matir in that case, that we could solve all of these issues. But the chachamim who hold that you're not allowed to do it, hold that even Yisrael is not allowed to do it. So Mechal, Rabbi Yehuda, Savar Mutar, apparently Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're allowed let it be kona bayis be isurei ana'a. So how could that be? So kasavra mitzvos lav lehanas nitnu. Yeah, he holds that this is not called getting hana'a. Making an eruv is for a dvar mitzvah, and anything that's for a dvar mitzvah is not called getting hana'a. So you're allowed to be mekayim mitzvos with isurei ana'a. This is our daf yomi coincidence of the day, because the primary sugi of mitzvos lav lehanas nitnu is a sugi in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So and in that context, the Gemara says Ela hadam Rava, that which Rava says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, when he talks about being tokea b'shofar of a carbon ola, that yotze, even though carbon ola is also about us, how could be yotze the mitzvah of shofar using a shofar that's also about us, mitzvahs of leonos nitnu, that it's mitzvahs of leonos nitnu, and therefore it's mutter. So lema katanoi amar l'shmeite, is that subject to machlokas tanoim that Rabbi Yudol's mitzvahs of leonos nitnu and the Chum disagree, and they say mitzvahs are leonos nitnu, and that's why you're not allowed to make the eruv by the kever. And according to the Chum, if you're tokeh b'shofar shalola, you're not going to be yotze. So amalach Rava isvir l'dein marvinel dvar mitzvah dukuliyam l'mitzvahs av leonos nitnu. No. If everyone were to agree that the only reason you're allowed to make an eruv is for the sake of a dvar mitzvah, you need to go beyond the 2,000 amos to go do a mitzvah, then everyone would agree you're allowed to make the eruv on the kever. That's mitzvahs av leonos nitnu. But over here, the machlokas is what you're allowed to make an eruv for. Mar savrein marvinel dvar mitzvah. Rabbi Yudol, you can only make an eruv l'dvar mitzvah, and since mitzvah slav leonos nitnu, you're allowed to put the eruv on the kever as well, because it's for a dvar mitzvah. Umar savre ma'arvin afil dvar rishus, but the chum mold, you can only make an eruv, you can even make an eruv for dvar rishus, and therefore if you put the eruv on the kever, you're nene from the tashmish ha'meis, which are aser behana'a. So since you're allowed to make an eruv even for a dvar rishus, the chum, the Rashash points out, the chachamim aser making an eruv bekever, even if you happen to be making the eruv for a dvar mitzvah, so that you don't come to put it there when you're ma'ariv l'dvar shos as well. And it's only according to Rabbi Yehuda that you're always only allowed to make an eruv l'dvar mitzvah, that it's not shaykh to make such a gzeira that we allow you to make an eruv on the kever. So says Gemara, El Hadam Rabbi Yosef, Ein Marvin El Dvar Mitzvah, Leme Katanay Amar L'Shmaitei. So you mean to tell me Rabbi Yosef's comment that you're only allowed to make an eruv l'dvar mitzvah is really subject to machlokas tanoim? So says Gemara, Amloch Rabbi Yosef, Tukuli Almei Ein Marvin El Dvar Mitzvah. Everyone agrees you're only allowed to make an eruv for the sake of a dvar mitzvah. The kuliyam the mitzvah slav leonos nitnu, and everyone agrees mitzvah slav leonos nitnu. Ubahakam iflugi, the machlokas chum and Rabbi Yehuda is as follows: Mar savar kivin the kanele eruv lo nichale demintera. Rabbi Yehuda holds once your eruv was kona shvisa for you, you no longer care about your eruv. You're not nena from the fact that your eruv is there and is being protected and is going to be there for you. Where you could then use it shalol letzaruch mitzvah, meaning your whole function, your whole purpose of this Eruv was to be able to go do the mitzvah you want to do, and therefore as soon as the Eruv was Kodesh Shvisa, you don't care about the actual food. As long as you're able to travel where you need to travel to, you're not going to eat that food anyway. You just want there to be Kodesh Shvisa there. As long as you can go do your mitzvah, that's your entire focus. Whereas the Chum say, no, once you're Kodesh Shvisa, you'd like that food to still be accessible to you on Shabbos. That if you want to, you'll come to eat it. And therefore, if you make an Erev on the Kever, you're using the Tashmish HaMeis, which are Asr Ba'ana, even for something beyond the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the traveling, okay? So that you have as soon as you're Kona Shvisa. But is there some secondary Ana that you're going to get now by accessing the food, by using the food? So the Chum say, yeah, that's what you're getting Ana from, and that's an Isser. You're not allowed to get Ana. That has nothing to do with the mitzvah. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no one cares about the food anymore. You're only interested in being Kona Shvisa. Now, on the topic of mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu, there's a lot to talk about. Obviously, the Ran in Maseches Nedarim of Tesov and Beis writes that the whole what this means when we say mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu is that the pleasure one gets from fulfillment of a mitzvah is not halachically defined as hana'a. But if a person gets other pleasure, physical pleasure, when doing a mitzvah, then for sure that's called hana'a. That's why the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that if a person is no noder min a mayan, a person says that I'm not going to get any anoa from this mayan, he's still not allowed to go into that spring of water during the summertime. Because yes, it's true, the tevila itself is not called hanoa, the tahara that he's experiencing is not called hanoa because that's a mitzvah, but when he's really hot and he goes into a cold spring and he cools off his body, that's hanoa. So even though it's in the context of doing a mitzvah, if he's getting physical pleasure while doing the mitzvah, that still is called hana'a. So based on that, the Maariv Chiyus and the Avnei Miluim and the Shaar HaMelech all raise a question that, wait a second, the Dvar Mitzvah that you are making an Erev Tchumen for is what? What's the Dvar Mitzvah you need to get to? So the example is, the Gemara is going to say later on, Daf Pei Beis, is a Suudas Mitzvah. You're going to a Beis HaMishta, Beis HaAvel, you're going to a Sheva Brachos, so you're going to something like that. So it's a Suudas Mitzvah. That's what the Gemara is going to mention. So in Rashi is going to mention based on the Gemara, Rashi mentions over here based on the Gemara later on. So you see that there's a Nos HaGuf from the mitzvah, and that's the context where we're trying to say mitzvahs l'avleyanos nidu. You're eating a meal. Is there any Nos HaGuf greater than that? Is there any physical pleasure that's more physical than that? So Shaar HaMelech comes up with the Yesod, where the Shaar HaMelech suggests in the 8th parak of Hilchos Lulav that dafka in a place, in a situation where your body physically gets enough from the mitzvah, like Tkiya Shofar, where we say mitzvahs l'avleyanos nidu. But over here, even though afterwards you're going to get hanah from the suuda, nevertheless the hanah is not from the Beis HaKvaros. It's just that the Beis HaKvaros is goreim that you're able to be nene from the suuda, but the suuda is not what's usher to you, but hanah. So in such a case, we're going to say mitzos are lav lehanos nitnu, even if there is hanah asaguf, meaning if the hanah asaguf is not from the mitzvah itself, the hanah asaguf is one step removed from the mitzvah, because the Isser, the Hana, by the Beis HaKvaros, the Su'uda is going to be the Hana's HaGuf. The Hana is the Beis HaKvaros itself. So it's just the Beis HaKvaros that allows you to then get that Hana's HaGuf. Well, then we're still going to say Mitzvah Slav Le'anos Nitnu, even though there's going to be physical pleasure from that second level. There is a sheet of the Balamar, which is also problematic, Balamar Mesach Rosh Hashanah, which is also problematic based on our Sugya. The Balamar Rosh Hashanah writes that by Mitzvah Drabanan, the halacha is that mitzvahs are lehanos nitnu, that the hanah one gets from a mitzvah drabanan is considered halachically hanah. So the Achronim raised the question, Shaar HaMelech, again, that same Shaar HaMelech in Hilchos Lulav, raises the question that in our sugya, you're making an Eruv L'tzorich Mitzvah, and you could put the Eruv by the Kever, even though you're not allowed to get hanah from the Kever. Why? Because mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu. But Eruv is drabanan, right? The whole thing is mitzvah mi drabanan. So how can you, or forget about the Erev, the mitzvah that we're talking about is the Sudas mitzvah, is that you're going for a Dvar mitzvah, you're going for a Sheva Brachos or something like that. Sheva Brachos is also Drabanan. So if the whole thing, the whole Suda, the whole mitzvah that you're going to do is only a mitzvah Drabanan, so shouldn't the Baal Amar say that we have a problem over here, because the Baal Amar holds mitzvah Drabanan are lehanos nitnu. So Shaar HaMelech says, no, it's only when you're getting hana'a from the mitzvah, like Tkiya Shofar, that's where the Baal Amar is willing to say mitzvahs rabbanan are lehanos nitnu. But over here, even though you're going to have hana'as haguf from the su'uda, but the hana'a is not from the Beis HaKvaros. It's just, again, that same yisod that he uses to answer this as well, that the Beis HaKvaros allows you to get that hana'a later, then even the Baal Amar is going to be moda, that will still apply the principle of mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu. So that same chiluk that answers both questions. The Marasham suggests differently. He says the iser to be nana from the kever is only an iser midrabanan. So in that case, the Baal Amar will be moda that even mitzvahs drabanan alav lehonos nitnu when the iser hanaa is only an iser hanaa midrabanan, because everything is on the drabanan plane and can be defined in that way. Another critical issue that comes up when it comes to the sugya of mitzvahs alav lehonos nitnu, the Ber Hetiv writes in Archaim in Hilchos Chanukah, in the name of the Shaar Ephraim, that you're allowed to be madlik neros Chanukah using butter that was cooked in a with basar, or in a kli that basar was cooked in that same day. The halach is, the Torah says los vashgul di b'chalevimo three times, and we learn from there echad l'iser bishul, echad l'iser achila, v'echad l'iser hana'a, that you're not allowed to get hana'a from basar b'chalev. So can you light neros Chanukah from a ner that's made out of basar b'chalev? So it says the Ber Hetev in the name of the Shaar Ephraim that it's mutter, that even though it's asr b'hana because it's basr b'chalav, but the to light neros Chanukah is not a problem, because neros Chanukah are are a mitzvah. So mitzvah slav le'anusinu. It's not called that you're getting anah. In the Pischei Tshuva and Simen Pei Zayin and Sivkot and Dalid, he raises an additional problem. He says, well, wait a second. If it's made out of basar b'chalav, forget about the Yisra anah. When you light the candle, aren't you being mevashel basar b'chalav? Isn't that an Isra bishel? Because by lighting the candle, it's actually cooking. So that's an interesting discussion in Poskim. Is that called bishel when you are lighting something? If you burn a dumpster, right? You go to Hafganah, and that's your style. That's how you like to express yourself, by burning dumpsters. So, and there happens to be milk and meat in that dumpster. So is that going to be a violation of Bishul Basar B'chalav when you burn the dumpster, because there happens to be milk and meat? So there may be a difference between Bishul and burning something down and destroying, right? That's the question in Hilchos Shabbos. That's what the Poskim talk about. If a person smokes a cigarette and there's wording on the side of the cigarette, so aside from the Yisra of Havara and the Yisra of suicide that the person is committing every time he smokes a cigarette, but what about the Yisra of erasing the letters on the side of the cigarette? Is that called that he's erasing the letters on the side of the cigarette when he smokes the cigarette? Now, there's a difference between erasing something and destroying the entire thing entirely. So that's one of the discussions that the post can have. But another issue the post can have is you can use such a candle for Ner Chanukah. So the post can point out, well, wait a second, even if you're going to say that it's not a violation of getting Hana'ah from Basar B'chalav because Mitzvah Slav Lehanos Nitnu, but by the fact that it's also Hana'ah, we should apply the principle of Kitusei Mechtas Shiurei. The Gemara tells us in Masechah Sukkah that a lulav shel Asherah, if you have a lulav that's also Hana'ah, it's problematic because a sheer lulav is Dalat Tfachim, and the lulav is no longer considered, even if it's physically for Tfachim, it's no longer considered to be for Tfachim, because anything that's Omid Lisaref, that's supposed to be burnt because it's Asar Ba'anah, that's supposed to be destroyed because it's Asar Ba'anah, we view it as if it's already cut up, it's already chopped up into a million pieces. And therefore, by Ner Chanukah also, you need a half hour of oil. And if you need a half hour of oil, shouldn't we consider that Kitusei Mechtas Shiurei, that the whole shear is not there? So that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in Mincha Shlomo in Chelik Bey, Simin Nun Ches, explains those poskim who don't apply Kitusei Mechtas Shiurei to Ner Chanukah. He says, because there is no din, there is no shear of shemen that you need for Ner Chanukah. It has to stay lit for a half hour. If you could make a thinner wick and therefore make more less oil last for longer, that works too. If you can soak a wick in enough oil and the wick is long enough that the wick itself will burn for a half hour without any oil in the ner, that works too. The whole din of Ner Chanukah is just that it has to last for a half hour. There is no din shear by Ner Chanukah. It's just a practicality. It's similar to the famous Reb Chaim by a lechi. What if you have a lechi that's asur ba'anah, how could it work? If a lechi works mishum mechitza, how could a lechi that's asur ba'anah work to be makif an area? So Reb Chaim says that no, that a lechi is not the shear of asar tfachim of a lechi is not a shear in the lechi itself. It's that 10 tfachim of space need to be hukaf. You need to have an area inside that's hukaf by 10 tfachim of lechi. So you don't need the lechi itself. That has no fundamental shear of 10 tfachim. It's just that it needs to be mukaf in that way. So that's how Reb Chaim explained. Someone told me, a friend of mine told me, they were making an Erev in Denver, and they were working with the parks over there, and they, you know, what they could put and where they could place different things. And the guy said, look, I'm totally fine with all this. I'm just curious, why is this not a church and state problem, that we're using state parks and we're allowing for... So he said, no, based on Reb Chaim, that it's not that these aren't religious articles. It's just that we're making the makom that's mukaf. But the things that we're actually using aren't actual religious things. It's just that the makom now is considered to be mukaf. Okay, so that is mitzvah. Oh, you can't mention mitzvah zav le'anusin without at least briefly mentioning the famous hakdama of the Eglei Tal, where he points out that the mitzvah zav le'anusin does not apply to Talmud Torah. By Talmud Torah, you don't say mitzvah zav le'anusin, because the reason mitzvah zav le'anusin, Rashi explains, because the mitzvahs were not given l'shem hanusin. hana'a. It's a gzeiras hamelech aleihem. But mitzvahs Talmud Torah ain't a kain. That's dafka given to for one to get hana'a from. And adraba, a chelik of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to be sas v'sameach u'misanig b'limudo, to enjoy one's learning. And the more you enjoy your learning, the greater the kiyum of Talmud Torah. So the whole principle of mitzvahs Talmud Torah does not apply to Talmud Torah. Very similar to a comment Rav Ram Minahar has in Maseches Nedarim. But we have to get moving over here. So now, next Mishnah. So now this says the Mishnah. Ma'arvin b'demai. You can make an Eruv using demai. And you can take and you can make an Eruv using Maiserishon, right? We got to the Mishnah. Did I stop short? Is that what we're up to? I think that's what we're up to. So ma'arvin b'demai. So you can make an eruv using demai. Says the Mishnah, u'maisa rishon shenitla trumaso. You can also make an eruv using maisa rishon that the trumas maisa has already been taken from. U'maisa sheni v'agdish shenifta. U'maisa sheni and hagdish that have already been poldas. You've already been polda them, so it's no longer maisa sheni and it's no longer hagdish. V'kohanim b'chala. And kohanim can make an eruv with chala because that's mutter for kohanim to eat. Chala is a din of truma. Ubetruma with any truma of a loba tevel, but Kohanim cannot make an eruv using tevel because tevel is aser before you take truma from Meisr Shamit. Veloba Meisr Rishon Shalom Nitl Truma. So you're also not allowed to use Meisr Rishon that the truma from Meisr was not taken from. Veloba Meisr Sheni Vagdish Shalom Niftu, nor Meisr Sheni or Hagdish that you were not yet poda because they're aser to eat so long as you're not yet poda them. Meaning Meisr Sheni you're allowed to eat but only in Yerushalayim. So if you're not in Yerushalayim, you can't use the Meisr Sheni for your Eruv. So says Gemara, on that very first word of the Mishnah, the first line of the Mishnah, we said that you're allowed to make an Eruv with Demai. So ask Gemara, Demai? Hello, Chazilei. Demai is not Ra'ui for the person who's making it, because it's Aser Ba'achili. You're not allowed to eat Demai. Demai is produce you buy from an Amaretz, and you have to assume that he did not take all the Trumas and Maestros that were necessary. You could assume he took Truma Gedola, but not Maestro Rishon, Maestro Shein, not anything else. So now it happens to be that the Sheet of the Chachamim that we had back on Daf Chavav is that you're allowed to make an Eruv with something that's ra'ui for other people, even though it's not ra'ui for you. And demai is ra'ui for aniyim. So the Gemara seems to be asking, but wait, you're not an ani, so how could you make an Eruv with demai? So the Rishonim point out, why is that a problem? If you hold like the Chacham, that you can make an Eruv even with something that's ra'ui for somebody, even if it's not ra'ui for you, so what's the problem? So you have to say that the question of the Gemara is only within the Shita of Sumchus, right? Only within the Shita that it has to be ra'ui for you as well that we're asking this question of how can you make an Eruv with demai? Because if it only needs to be ra'ui for somebody, aniyim are allowed to eat demai. So it says Gemara, no, you also can be an ani. Migo dibayi mafkir le'nichsev avyani v'chazilei hashanam li'chazilei. Since a person has the ability to be mafkir all of his nechasim and become an ani, so the peros of demai are considered to be ra'ui for him to eat as well. The reason the chum were not machmir on the aniyim is because the aniyim always have to be mechazer al psach, and they always have to go collecting. So very often they'll knock on an amaretz's door, and the amaretz will give them fruit. So the chum say, okay, we can rely on the rov, that rov amaretz are ma'ashim. The Meiri points out, in order to be matir demai, you need to be mafkir kol nechasav, not just the tevua itself. Well, why? The Mishnah tells us that tevua that's hefker is pater from maestros. So why do you have to be mafkir all the nechasav? Why not be mafkir the tevua? So the Meiri points out, because it's already chai in Trumas Maisos, meaning it only helps you mafkir the tvua before the chiv sets in. Once the chiv already sets in, being mafkir the food itself is not going to help. But to be mafkir all of your nechasim, now a person has the status of nani, now he's going to be able to eat the mai. Now, can you do this on Shabbos? So the Meiri writes, you're allowed to be mafkir on Shabbos. That's different than being makdish nechasim on Shabbos. Sharamelech says, no, that there are shitos and rishonim, you're not allowed to be mafkir on Shabbos. Over here, when it says you could be mafkir your nechasim, it means during Ben Ashmashos, which is the time that the Eruv takes effect. So since you have the ability to become an Ani when the Eruv takes effect during Ben Ashmashos, not when it's Mamish 100% Shabbos, so it's considered that the Demai is Ro'i for everybody. Ditnan, like we had in the Mishnah, Machilin asanim demai vesachsanya demai. You're allowed to feed demai to an anir to a guest. Amar Rav Huna Tana b'shami amrim ein machilin asanim demai b'silul amrim machilin asanim demai. It's machlokes b'shami b'silul, but we pass like the b'silul. Ubemaisa rishon shenitl, we said you could use maisa rishon that the trumas maisa was taken from pshita. Of course you can. What would be wrong with it? Lo tzricha shekdima b'shibolin. No, you took the maisa rishon before truma gadola was ever taken from it, when it was still in its stalks. V'nitl menu trumas maisa, v'lo nitl menu truma gadola, and then from the Maaser Rishon, he took Trumas Maaser, but Truma Gedola was never taken from the produce. Potter mitruma gadola. That if you take the Maaser Rishon early enough while it's still b'shibalin, you don't even have to take truma gadola. Shenemar v'arimosim menu trumas Hashem ma'aser min ha'maser. Maaser min ha'maser marti lach v'lo truma gadola u'trumas maaser min ha'maser. You have to take trumas maaser from maaser, but you don't have to take both truma gadola and trumas maaser from maaser. So if you got your Maaser Rishon early enough, it's potter from truma gadola. Amler papla abai ihachi afilu k'dimo b'krinami. Well, then maybe even if you take the Maaser Rishon when it's already in a pile that's been smoothed out, not just when it's b'shibalin, it should still be potter from truma gadola. Amalei alecha makrami kol ma'asrael seichem tarimu es kol trumas Hashem. No, the pasuk says you always have to take truma. Umari isa, but how do you know that when it's b'shibalin you're potter from truma gadola, and when it's b'kri it's chayiv in truma gadola? Because hay idgan v'hay lo idgan. When it's b'kri, it already became dagan, and once it became dagan, it became chayiv in truma. So there's no way to get around that chayiv truma by just taking ma'aser rishon first. But when it's b'shibalim, it's not yet idgan, it's not called dagan yet, and therefore you can still avoid the chiyuv of truma gadola on the maaser rishon. We said if you're poda, your maaser sheni and hegdish, you could use that for a neiv. Pshita, of course, it's totally mutter. Lo tzricha shenasan es hakeren v'lanasan es hachomesh. Maybe you were not poda properly, you didn't add the extra chomesh. V'kamash melon deina chomesh ma'akev. And the chiddush over here is that the chomesh is not going to be ma'akev the pidyon. Aval lo b'tevel. You're not allowed to use a tevel for an eruv pshita. So that's also obvious. You eat tevel, so of course you can't use it for an eruv. No, we're talking about something that grew in a flower pot that doesn't have a hole in the bottom, where the whole chiyuv of trumas u'maisos is only midrabanan. So I might have thought you could use it for an eruv because on a daraisa level it's not tevel. And you also can't take an eruv with ma'aser rishon that trumas u'maisos was not taken from. Well, pshita, that's tevel if trumas maaser wasn't taken from it. Now the case is that the Levi came before the Kohen and took the maaser rishon while it was bekri, not the men of trumas maaser, not the men of truma gadola, and he took trumas maaser but not truma gadola. So mal detema k'damar le'Rav Papa la'abaye, I might have thought like Rav Papa had suggested that even when it's k'dimo bekri, it's potter from truma gadola once you took the maaser rishon first. Kamash melon k'dishanile. So it's kamash melon what we answered over there, that no, only ikdimo b'shibalin does it become putter from truma gadola. But if ikdimo b'kri, if the maaser rishon is taken without taking truma gadola, when it's b'kri, you still have to take the truma gadola even from the chelek of the maaser rishon. V'lo b'maaser sheni v'hektesh lo niftu, and if you have maaser sheni or hektesh that is not nifte, you're not allowed to make an erev with it. So pshita, that's obvious, you're not allowed to make an erev. It's asar ba'achila. So says Gemara lo tzricha shepedon v'lo pedon kiilchasan. You were poded, but you didn't do the pidyon properly. What does it mean you didn't do it properly? We already said that if you don't add the extra chomesh, it is good enough. So what's not good enough? What kind of pidyon would not be good enough? So maaser shepedo al gabe asimon, if it's maaser that you used a coin that doesn't have a tzura on it. V'rachmana amar, because the Torah says when it talks about maaser sheni, it says v'tzarta hakesef. It says v'nasata b'kesef v'tzarta hakesef v'yadecha. So we dash him from lashon v'tzarta kesef sheishal of tzura, that the kesef has to have some sort of tzura, some sort of image on it. Or hegdish echilu al gabe karka. How are you po the hegdish improperly? You're mechalin on karka. Derachman amar v'nosna kesef akamlo. When it talks about being makdish your field and then being po the it, the pasuk says v'nosna kesef akamlo. And from lashon of kesef, we learn that you can only be po the hegdish with kesef. You cannot be po the hegdish with karka. The problem is, Rashi points out, there is no pasuk that says v'nosna kesef v'kamlo. The pasuk we're referring to is v'yasav chamishis kesef erkecha al love the kam love. But Tosis points out in Masech Shabbos Nafkuf Chavches that a lot of times the Gemara will just paraphrase psukim, even though the pasuk doesn't say exactly like that. Okay, new Mishnah says the Mishnah Shaleich Eruvo Biad Cheres Shaita V'Katan. If a person sends a Cheres Shaita V'Katan with his Eruv, Obiad Mishenu Moda Be Eruv, or someone who's not masking to the whole din of Eruv Itchumin, Eino Eruv, then the Eruv is invalid. V'im Amar La'achel Lekablu Mimenu. But if you appoint someone else to be mekabel Eruv from this invalid shliach, hareza Eruv, then it is a good Eruv. The katan lov, amra avuna katan govas Eruv. Didn't we learn that a katan can collect the Eruv from all the residents of a chatzer to make an Eruv chatzeros? So lakasha, kan be Eruv itchumin, kan be Eruv chatzeros. That's the difference. Eruv chatzeros, he can collect. He doesn't have to make a kinyan on behalf of anybody. But for Eruv itchumin, we ask to be kona shvisa for you. That he can't do. O biyan mishen amod be Eruv, man, who's someone who's ain't amod be Eruv, amra avchista kutai, kutim are people who are ain't amod be Eruv. Says Gemara v'imamar la'achal kablim and raise the Eruv. If you have someone else to be makabalit from the kid, then it is an Eruv. V'leichashdum l'lamam tile, but don't you have to worry that maybe the kid is not going to bring it all the way to him? Kedam Rav Chista ba'omid v'ra'ehu. No, you see the child going toward that guy, so you see that he reaches that guy that you sent. Hachanami ba'omid v'ra'ehu. So it's just like Rav Chista said it in a different context over here also. V'leichashdum l'shakal mineh, but maybe the guy didn't take it from the katan. Kedam Rav Yechiel, just like Rav Yechiel said it in a different context. Chazak ha'shliach osa shlichu. So if you sent the guy to receive it from the katan, you could assume he did his job. Hachanami chazak ha'shliach osa shlichu. So we have a chazaka that a guy who sent on a mission goes to and does his job. Where were these original statements of Rav Chisra and Rav Yechiel made that were applying to our case? Ahoyitmar, detani, the Braisa tells us, Nisano Lapil, if you put your Erev on an elephant, Vaholicho, and it goes to the place where you want it to go, Lakof, or you put your Erev, you give your Erev to a monkey, Vaholicho, and it brings it to where you want it to go, Ainza Erev, that's not a good Erev. But if you appoint someone else to receive it from the elephant or the monkey, Hareza Erev, but maybe he's never going to, the elephant or the monkey is never going to meet that guy. No, you see that the elephant or the monkey gets all the way there. But how do you know that the guy is going to receive it from the elephant or the monkey? Says, I'm Rav Yechiel. That's where Rav Yechiel originally said his din, that if you appointed him to do that, you have a chazaka that he's going to fulfill his shlichus. Okay, we'll stop there, and Be'ez Hashem will pick up at the very end of the page tomorrow. I'm Rav Nachman.
Oh, thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you.